What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Back to the Rodcast. You can always be a part of the show. Hit us up on the Specs text line. That's the best way to do it. 512-337-3776. You also can hit me up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Barris. My man Wags back there twisting and tweaking the dials. Hit him up at Not The Fake Wags. We got a lot to get into on the show. Cowboys may be getting close to making some more moves in free agency. They got some players visiting in town. We'll talk about that coming up in the show. We'll also get into the latest on the Robert Kraft, the Robert Kraft prostitution prosecution for solicitation. His charges may be dropped, deferred adjudication, if he decides to plead guilty and go along with some of the other kind of mandated requirements of deferred adjudication. So we'll talk about that coming up. And my man Trey has an interesting theory as to why Robert Kraft may not do it. He may fight the power. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later on the show. There's also the big deal that just broke right before the show, probably, I don't know, maybe an hour or so ago. Mike Trout is now the highest paid baseball player in the history of Major League Baseball. A 12-year, $430 million deal he gets from the Angels. And there was a lot of speculation that he may want to hit the free agent market. That ain't going to happen. All right, Mike Trout signing a monster deal with the LA Angels. And I've talked about this with Major League Baseball before, too. And, you know, we've brought Mike Trout up as an example of how, or at least the inability of Major League Baseball to market and promote its superstars. Mike Trout is the best player in baseball, has been for a few years. And yet most people on the street, just even if they're not a sports fan,
West Coast face too, man.
Yeah, exactly. The West Coast face. If they're not a sports fan, not a baseball fan, they should know the best player in your sport. My girlfriend should know the best player in the NFL. She does. She knows the best players. She don't know everybody. She knows the best players. She knows the best players in the NBA. She knows them. She knows Steph. She knows LeBron. She knows sports fans. She knows Steph, LeBron, James Harden. She likes her teams. She's not following it every day like me. My mama should know who the best player in, if, and I'm talking about the big three sports. My mama should know the best player. She knows who LeBron is. She knows who Steph is. I can ask my mama about the best players in the NBA, and she would know. I can bring up, you know, Tom Brady, and I could bring up Aaron Rodgers, and my mama would know who that is, even though she does not follow sports like that. With baseball, my mama would have no idea who Mike Trout is. My girlfriend has no idea who the hell Mike Trout is.
And I think, actually, Mike Trout wants it that way.
That's part of the problem, too. That's part of the problem. He's got, there's a certain responsibility being the best player in that major sport. Sorry, bro, you got to come out of your shell. All right? You know what I mean? You can't be Kawhi Leonard, all right, in Major League Baseball. You can't do it. I mean, you got to step out of the shell. So, yeah, some of it's on him, because even Rob Manfred and Mike Trout, their camps got into it a little bit because he threw Mike Trout under the bus a little bit and was like, hey, man, we need him to be a little bit more outgoing.
Headline, man. Be like Bryce.
Embrace that platform. Yeah, they want him to be more like Bryce, except he's better than Bryce. But they want him to be, personality-wise, like Bryce
boisterous,
Harper.
Very boisterous.
To be a big name. And I remember a couple of years ago, and I saw this story from the Nielsen ratings. It's a great story about superstars in sports and their Q scores. And Q scores are just awareness ratings. So, how recognizable you are to the pop culture. And they did the Q scores for Mike Trout, and they said his Q score was a 22. I'm sure Hell, it's probably decreased since then. I think it may have increased, but it might have decreased. He had a 22 Q score, which at the time was the same Q score as Kenneth Faried in the NBA. Like, that was that was his NBA equivalent in Q score and popularity ratings. And they said that 22 meant that little more than 1 in 5 Americans knew who Mike Trout was. Now, I know this does not matter when it comes to his ability on the playing field. He's been fantastic, unbelievable, extraordinary. One of the greatest players up until this point in his career, honestly, in the history of major American pro sports, not just baseball. He's been that good. But baseball's trying to market their celebrities and their stars a little bit more, and we're in a celebrity-driven culture. So one of the compromises that needs to happen, because he's being paid like the best player in baseball, and he is the best player in baseball. But in terms of consumer appeal and widespread appeal, baseball needs to do a better job of promoting and marketing Mike Trout to the masses. And I know Mike Trout's not going to help them with that, because he doesn't want to be on social media, and he doesn't want to promote himself. He's not into, you know, that type of self-promotion and that really that self-interest. But it's good for the game if his brand continues to grow and young kids want to grow up being him. We were just talking about Tiger Woods coming into Austin. You know, one of the beautiful things happening in golf right now, the really young, great golfers that they have in golf, is they all grew up wanting to be Tiger. They all grew up inspired by Tiger. And there is this young rush of great golfers right now in golf who all patterned their game after Tiger and were inspired by Tiger. Just like there's a whole generation of basketball fans that were inspired by Michael Jordan. And there's going to be a generation of basketball fans inspired by LeBron and Steph and KD. And that's what you want. Every little kid out there, just like me and Wags when we were young, you grow up idolizing your sports stars. You want to be them. I want to be Deion Sanders, period. End up playing cornerback in the NFL. Look at what, you know what I mean? That dedication to want to be like Deion, to try to mimic his movements and mimic his stance and alignment and wear the number 21 like I did. You know, it helped me to crystallize my focus and goals. And it helped me to, obviously, my obsession with football. I love the game of football because of it.
And I used to sit there and try and mimic people's batting stance.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Who stands to try to mimic?
You don't see those crazy, outlandish Vlad Guerrero type of
stances. The Ken Griffey Jr.
Cal Ripken, he couldn't even get his own stance down right. He was always switching it up every now and then.
That's a good point. Yeah,
Ken Griffey Jr., that swing.
I wasn't even a big baseball fan, but I remember trying to mimic the swings and mimic the stances of some of the great players, and Deion being one of them. So, it's good for baseball. They need Mike Trout's brand to grow. They got to help it. I like that this year they changed the All-Star Game voting. Remember, now Major League Baseball is going to do kind of an All-Star Election Day. Fans are going to vote online for All-Star starters, and then the top three vote-getters at every position are going to take part in like a one-day Election Day.
That's pretty cool.
You know what I mean? Where they got to win votes. Basically, they got to go online. They got to go on social media. They got whatever is available.
Engage with the fans.
Yes, at their disposal. They got to go there and they got to make sure people vote for them.
That's kind of smart.
It's beautiful. So what's Mike Trout going to do? This puts a lot of the responsibility on Mike Trout. You know he's going to be a top three vote getter. And it's like, no. We want him to go out there and, you know, and engage with the fans and form a relationship with the fans and show them how cool and quirky he can be. And maybe he'll do, you know, something really cool and quirky that'll go viral. That's what the NBA does a ton of. The NBA goes viral just because Steph does really silly stuff on Instagram, and, you know, they got all these guys. Joel Embiid is a really goofy guy on social media, and LeBron James is kind of a social media darling. I mean, he'll go on there and post silly stuff. Baseball doesn't do enough of it. The Astros are really good at it, by the way.
Mike Trout is a fish. Like, literally, he is quiet underneath the water.
Yeah.
Like a trout, dude. He is just quiet.
He is quiet. I think it's going to help him, but Major League Baseball understands this. But now there is no dispute where in terms of monetary value and value to the game. He's the best player in the game. They need him to be what LeBron James has been to the NBA, what Patrick Mahomes is about to be for the NFL. That's what they need.
I'm glad you brought this up because recently when Bryce Harper just signed that new contract with the Phillies, the number 3 jersey outsold LeBron James's jersey. And it looked like a
little... Did it really?
Yeah.
Per
Fanatics and per Sports Illustrated as well.
Yeah.
So... to me, you know, I thought that baseball was kind of like on the up and up a little bit. It was a little bit of good news and a good look for baseball with the youth.
I agree with that.
You really can't, you can't focus on which one, or you can't really determine how much or how much of the youth actually bought that jersey. You know, it could have been a different demographic as well.
That's a good point.
But to me, you know, what if Mike Trout, since we arguably have pretty much solidified him as the number one baseball player.
He is the best player in baseball.
In baseball, right? What if he was actually boisterous like Bryce Harper?
Yeah.
Imagine how much that jersey would sell.
Oh, yeah. I call baseball the new no fun league. You know, they don't like guys celebrating. They don't like Bryce Harper's swagger. They think it's too brash and too cocky. But hey, millennials
just
love
play the game.
Yeah, they love Bryce Harper. Millennials, if though, you know, and hopefully the jersey numbers are to millennials, because 55% of baseball fans are 50 years and older. That's why they need a Mike Trout to go out there and do Saturday Night Live. You know what I mean? Like they need that. Like that would help the game of baseball. They got good young stars, but they got to market them a lot better. I went and looked at the social media impact followers for all the major American pro sports. If you look at baseball, baseball doesn't have, in terms of this is Instagram, this is, you know, Twitter, and so this is Snapchat, everything. It's always it's a combination. And baseball doesn't have a player in the top 100 social media influencers in sports right now. Not one. Tim Tebow is in the top 100, but I don't consider Tim Tebow baseball because I think he got his fame initially from football, and now he's trying baseball. All right, so it's they gotta, you know, that's why, you know, they need to do a better job of putting their stars in the spotlight and then promote. That's why I'm glad they increased the home run derby prize to $1 million. I think they should bring it out in cash and let all the players see $1 million in cash and be like,
in
man,
like
it's
a trunk, treasure chest.
A treasure chest, or like in a big, you know, a big truck. Big, you know, big, give them a nice F-150 with the bag just filled with $100 million in cash. Because I think the guys would get motivated. Cash is a great motivator about wanting to win that $1 million.
Cash, homie.
So I think it's good. It's good for the game of baseball. From one that they paid their big star and he's solidified there on the West Coast. Listen, the West Coast is blowing up sports watch. You got the Rams out there, and of course you got the Chargers out there. So the NFL now has got a blueprint and successful blueprint out on the West Coast. You have the, you know, the Lakers now with LeBron on the West Coast. Of course, Golden State and the best player in baseball on the West Coast. So yeah, the sports world is West Coasting right now. But I would like to see baseball do a better job of promoting Mike Trout, force him to do it. Even if he don't want to do it, make him do it. Go have a man-to-man with him, Rob Manfred, and make him do it. Even if he doesn't want to, it'd be good for him. It'd be good for the sport, better yet. All right, Texas basketball in action tonight versus South Dakota State. I think Longhorn fans, I know a lot of Longhorn fans are choosing to go to the baseball game tonight because Texas baseball is taking on Arkansas. And Texas baseball right now a top 10 team in most of the rankings, and that is well-deserved. Actually, it's hard to argue that there is a better home field environment right now than Dish Falk Field. They've won their last 10 series, weekend series at home here in Austin. That goes back to last year. And, of course, Arkansas, old Southwest Conference rival. So I'm sure it'll be packed again. They're setting records for attendance. So most Longhorn fans will probably be watching Texas baseball. As I said, they've moved on and they've detached themselves from the Texas basketball team. But I'm really interested to see how this team responds, because it's not going to be an easy win. South Dakota State is going to be motivated. Yeah, I'm sure they want to be in the tournament, but that's a team that can score. They're shooting more than, I think, higher than 41% from three-point range. They're top five in the country in field goal percentage. They got one of the best scorers in the country. And what's his name? Mike Dom, I believe is his name. One of the best scorers in the country. They got great shooters. It's not going to be an easy win for Texas. I know it sounds crazy because there are no easy wins for Texas, but considering they're playing at home in the NIT, they're a more talented team. No Jackson Hayes, though, either. It'll be interesting to see where they get the motivation, because they got nothing to play for. And how does Shaka Smart motivate this crew? So that's what I want to see. We'll see if they come out with any type of fire lit beneath this team, and if maybe, you know, the senior leadership, Snoop Roach being one of those guys, who can, Dylan Nosikowski, if they can, without really having anything to play for, if they can get this team to, you know, play with a fire and to play with some grit and testicular fortitude. That's what this game's about. This game's about the testicular fortitude of the Texas basketball team. Do they have any left? We'll see in this game. And we shall say, I think it's good for closure, though, for the Texas basketball fans. You need talk about relationships and how you need closure in relationships. If Texas can't, you know, if they can't find a way to motivate themselves, get themselves motivated, and Shaka Smart can't motivate this team going into that game, then you probably know it's now, you know, it's over. I think most Longhorn fans are leaning that way, but at least you know it's over. That's what closure is about, so you can move on. And you can move on to the next relationship, whether it be business or personal, without the baggage. That's what closure is about. And, yeah, most of my relationships, I don't really have closure. Just try to get out of there as soon as possible. Not trying to get a lot of closure.
Nothing usually adds.
Yeah.
It's good. You know what I mean?
I know. Exactly, right? But, you know, closure is good for you psychologically. It's healthy to get closure. Most of us just never do it. And I do believe it affects your next relationship when you don't get closure. It's like I don't think Longhorn fans got closure with Mac Brown necessarily. Like, that was real tumultuous. It was like, if Mac wins the Big 12, then he's leaving, and then he's staying, and then he didn't, so he had to leave. And I don't know if they got closure, and I think that affected the relationship that Texas football fans had with Charlie. And they definitely had closure with Charlie, because that was Kansas. Like, that was that's closure. Sometimes closure is painful. So they got closure with Charlie, and I think it helped bring a more a healthier, a more vibrant perspective without baggage to the Texas fan base Tom Herman relationship. So if you're going to go, maybe go for closure. Because if Texas doesn't show up, then, you know, then we know that we need to move on from Shaka. I think the Longhorn fans are already there. And just like a lot of relationships, you can already be thinking, oh, yeah, we should move on, and maybe, you know, maybe that relationship isn't best for me. Maybe it's toxic. Maybe it's best for both of us if we part ways. But it's always good to know for show. And tonight, I think Texas basketball fans may know for show. If Texas is a no-show, then Shaka gotta go. All right, we'll get back to some Texas basketball discussion. I want to talk March Madness a little bit later on the show, too. Another big story, I don't know if it's a big story, but it's a story worth following for Cowboys fans out there, is that the Cowboys have invited Eric Berry on a visit. Yesterday, Randall Cobb and Clayton Gethers were two of the players the Cowboys invited to the Cowboys facility to visit during the second wave of free agency. Randall Cobb was going to be, I think, a slot receiver is what they ideally project for him. Clayton Gethers, a safety from the Colts. Clayton Gethers started 12 games for the Colts, so he could have been seen as somebody that could have started on the opposite safety spot for Xavier Woods, or, you know, competed with Jeff Heath or whatever. So this situation today, though, shows the Cowboys are addressing other needs, or at least they're looking to address other needs. They're going to bring in Eric Berry. And I think Eric Berry could end up being a really good pickup for the Cowboys. It depends on what the price is for Eric Berry. Now, Eric Berry is a former All-Pro. I think he's a three-time former All-Pro, also a three-time Pro Bowler. The question with Eric Berry is not about whether he can produce on the field. The question, he's 30 years old, too, so around the same age as Earl Thomas. But he's been a lot less durable and missed a lot more games. Of course, he had his bout with cancer, beat cancer. And that was 2014. He also missed a ton of time the last two seasons due to a leg injury. He's only played four games in the last 2 years. But he's got a really high ceiling. I'm talking about All-Pro, Pro Bowl ceiling. And you know how I feel about, you know, older safeties. I've told you guys this time and time again. Oh, safeties, you know, something about safeties, man, they age really, really well. That's why I was cool with them going after Earl Thomas, because something about the safety position at age as well. And, you know, we'll go over those numbers if they end up signing Eric Berry. But it definitely shows you that the Cowboys are looking to upgrade the safety position. And it wasn't necessarily going to be a big splash. They've stayed away from the first week of free agency, and they have tried to go more to the bargain bins and the clearance racks to find their players. But here's a trend developing. At least you can see where the Cowboys are trying to find value. What are two things that drive down value of a player, more so a football player, as a commodity, more so than any other two factors? Age, injuries. Look at all the players they're bringing in. First of all, they stayed away from the first week of free agency because they didn't want to spend top dollar. Remember I said, you basically, that first wave of free agency, that's like making it rain at a strip club. It's fun, and, you know, if you got the money, you spend it, all right? It ain't tricking if you got it, but it's not the best way to spend your dollars. Stop the- And you can fall in love with a stripper. All right. Nobody thought Honey Badger would get the deal he got at Landon Collins, but you can fall in love with a stripper. But that's spending a lot of money. You pay top dollar for those free agents. Cowboys, they want to be a little bit more fiscally responsible about free agency, and I respect that. So they go to the second wave, which is a lot more bang for your buck. All right. Not the big names, but still a lot of upside with guys. But their value has been driven down usually because of injuries and usually because of age. So the Cowboys yesterday brought in Clayton Gathers, right? The safety from the Colts who missed 23 games due to neck injuries. Mostly, I think most of them the last couple of years. But he's been a good safety. He played in 26 of the last 48 games. He started 12 games for the Colts last year. Had a career high in tackles. Had a career high, I believe, in tackles for loss. It was at his best year, arguably. But he's been dealing with injuries, so his value down. All right? He's a nice starting safety in the NFL. He may be an upgrade for the Cowboys, but they'll get him on the cheap because of the injury concerns. Now, if he's unavailable, all right, and can't be durable enough to play, then the Cowboys, their theory, at least their latest belief to try to get value on guys who have dealt with injuries, didn't pay off because it's a gamble, it's a risk. Eric Berry, right? Eric Berry played, what, 4 games in the last 2 years? But what's the upside? Pro bowler, all-pro safety. All right? He's 30 years old, so age has diminished the value. Injuries diminished the value. If you go look at Randall Cobb, Cowboys brought in Randall Cobb. I think he played like 88% of his snaps in the slot, but he's had 6 different stretches of games that he's missed over the last 3 years. And that's the biggest complaint about him. They did the same thing last year with Tavon Austin, who's had issues with injuries, and they're like, nah, the upside is, you know, a guy can be a pro bowler. Guy can be an extremely explosive offensive threat. We'll get him on the cheap because he's dealt with injuries. So I don't know if this is going to pay off for him. I think the Cowboys are really confident in their strength and conditioning program and their trainers. Remember the Jalen Smith thing, too. Nobody thought Jalen Smith would ever get to this level again. It's like, nah, he'll get to be a decent NFL player. Never back to what people thought he was going to be, a top 10 draft pick. He'll never get back to that ceiling. Well,
now Dallas Cowboys have arguably the top 3 players in the draft.
I think they had the two best young linebackers in the league. Jalen Smith and LVE.
That's a fact.
Right? So I think maybe that has made them overconfident, but I think they're really confident in their training staff being able to maximize, you know, these players and get the most out of them and help them be a little bit more durable. Now, people say, well, what about Sean Lee? What about other players? I understand that. I'm just saying, if you're going to bring in these guys with these injury histories and these guys who've got kind of the injury bug on the resume, you got to make sure that you have a good strength and conditioning program and make sure that you also have a good training staff. So for the Cowboys, I think that's where they're going. I mean, if you kind of look at the trend, even they signed Kerry Hyder, who's actually an ATX product, a Central Texas product. They signed defensive end Kerry Hyder, who went to Texas Tech, undrafted free agent. I think he came out of Tech in 2015. He's had an injury pass. He had 8 sacks in 2016. And I think he missed time that year and also missed 2017 with a torn Achilles. But he's got a high upside. Had 1 sack in 2018, so his value is down. Cowboys get him on the cheap, and if he doesn't work out, they can cut him. They signed Chris Covington. Chris Covington, I'm a Texans fan, so I know this. He missed half of 2017 with injuries. I think he played only 12 games last year, so he's had injuries, but he's been a really steady contributor for the Texans, was a really good interior defensive lineman when he was healthy. So that's where the Cowboys are trying to get their value. You got to get your value somewhere. All right, and this is their idea of shopping at the clearance rack or the bargain rack, and also, you know, getting as much bang for their buck as possible. It's not a bad – I mean, it's honestly, this is how Bill Belichick and other franchises do the same thing. You know, guys are devalued.
Nickel and dime.
Nickel is like they're penny stocks. And if you hit big on one, hey man, it'll pay for the rest of them. I mean that if you hit on one of these guys and one of these guys becomes a perennial starter for you and plays at a Pro Bowl level, kind of makes the risk well worth it. So, all right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about that with the Cowboys because I see that they're trying to solidify something on the defensive side of the ball based on these guys who are visiting the Cowboys. We'll get back into that. We'll also talk about this Robert Kraft story. He may be able to get his charges reduced and also be able to wrap it up. I shouldn't have said that. That's a bad choice of words. I did not mean that. Get his case settled without any more publicity or negative promotion. All right, so I did not mean to say that. That was not a pun. I did not try to do that. All right, we'll come back. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is the Horn 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the broadcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. You also hit me up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Wags is at Not the Fake Wags in the Twitterverse. You can hit him up as well. All right, I want to before we get back to the Dallas Cowboys, I want to get to this Robert Kraft story that just broke because the Cowboys have somebody else. They're entertaining another player. They're entertaining possibly to bring in via free agency in the second wave. But Pro Football Talk is reporting that Robert Kraft has received a conditional offer to drop the solicitation charges from the Orchids of Asia Day Spa prostitution sting. Patriots owner Robert Kraft could have solicitation or prostitution charges against him dropped with one key condition, it says. He needs to admit that if the charges hadn't been dropped, prosecution would have resulted in a conviction. So he's basically got to admit guilt. And that's the big thing. And I don't think that would be a big issue for him. I just want this thing to go away.
He's on camera, man.
Yeah, I mean, you can fight it. He can fight it. Because, listen, he doesn't have to worry about the human trafficking element. And I don't even know, you know, how much of that is now a part of the prostitution sting overall, but he was not involved with any underage ladies. He liked the older ladies, apparently.
And all of his ladies were a specific one in particular.
Yes, like the own manager.
One of them, yeah.
Yes, one of the managers. And they were all older women.
She was requested a few times.
Yes, they were like in their 40s and 50s.
It almost seems like he was just looking for somebody to long.
He wanted some companionship.
Yeah, exactly.
Man.
Like his companion of a lifetime just died.
Just died. Right? So he's just a lonely old rich man.
Yeah, I'm not.
No.
Get
I'm not
out jail free card.
It's not going to intent.
Right.
He's a lonely old rich man who, you know, is the love of his life.
Looking to try to connect with somebody at the wrong spot, mind you. But I'm just saying.
Hey, that's a hell of a connection. Yes. The Wall Street.
It ain't Chuck Woolery, but I mean.
Andrew Beaton of the Wall Street Journal says the Palm Beach County legal entanglement also has other requirements in this offer. He said the criminal charges will go away if Kraft, of course, admits to wrongdoing, admits his guilt. If he completes an education course about prostitution, that sounds interesting, and if he performs 100 hours of community service, that's always easy for people who are really rich, and if he's screened for STDs and pays the court costs, which is no problem for a billionaire. So if he's got to be screened for STDs, which, by the way, I know this is going to sound a little crass. Old people who are single and single oftentimes because they've lost a loved one and now they're trying to, you know, reinvigorate the love life and their mojo, they are actually one of the groups most susceptible to STDs and STIs. I'm not making that up. There are plenty of public health campaigns right now that are targeting old people to be more sexually responsible. According to data, all right.
Them old folks' homes, man.
No, I'm not making it up. Yeah, it is.
Serious.
According from data Chlamydia. From Athena Health's network of more than 110,000 providers of healthcare services for the elderly, between 2014 and 2017, diagnosis rates for herpes, simplex, gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, hepatitis B, and some other stuff rose about 23% in patients over the age of 60. So old people are getting it on. They say the main reasons is Viagra. for women and men. There's now female Viagra, too.
But that's just like, hey, when are you going to put me in that old folks home? I was like, what are you talking about? Man, there's a lot of partying going on.
There's a lot of hooking up going on in these old folks homes, man. I'm telling you, like 20 years, this is going to be, the old folks home is going to be the place to be. They're going to listen to rap, jamming hip hop, and getting it on a lot, apparently. He should be getting tested if he's having, you know, relations with people in Orchids of Asia Day Spa. But apparently, that's one of the requirements for Robert Kraft if he actually takes the offer, which I think he will take the offer. And by the way, everybody should be tested and everybody should brag about their STD results. If you can't brag about them, then you need to handle that.
Perfect.
Yeah, I used to, when I was single, I carried my STD results around
now
with
me. Now
we're
good, we can do this.
I swear to God, I used to carry them in my bag with me. And literally, girls thought it was funny. It wasn't funny. I'm like, no, girl, you ain't got to worry. I'm good.
Clean,
look at that.
Health.
Clean. Boom. 2 months ago, a week, whatever it was. I had to go like every 2 or 3 weeks.
Signed, sealed, delivered, yeah. I'm yours.
Because I was doing a lot of, I was getting around a lot back in the day. You know what I mean? Anyway, but everybody. Somebody rocking, hey, for Rob, even if you're old, go get checked and handle that. You don't want, don't be approaching that irresponsibly. Anyway, didn't mean to rant about that, but you know how the show goes. All right, let's talk about the Cowboys. I got a rant of the day coming about March Madness and the NCAA. We'll probably get to that next segment. We'll go behind the burnt orange curtain. We'll probably do that in the second hour of the show. Cowboys are bringing in Robert Quinn today. And remember I said this yesterday? And I don't know what is going on. I think it's the defensive line draft that is approaching, that is one of the deepest defensive line drafts in the history of the NFL is what they're saying. But look at all the pass rushers that are available. And apparently Robert Quinn, now Robert Quinn's not a free agent. He's going to be traded. And apparently now he's on the trade block. But there have been numerous reports that Robert Quinn is visiting with the Cowboys, one of those players visiting with the Cowboys right now. I think Clarence Hill also reported this. So the Cowboys are getting busy. They brought in Eric Berry and they brought in Randall Cobb.
Him? Can you do this if somebody's?
I don't. Yeah, I'm assuming you can. Because
I tampering at all?
Tom Pelissero, Robert Quinn was spotted on his way to visit the Cowboys today, who are in trade talks with the Dolphins for the veteran DN.
Who are clearly tanking. The Dolphins are clearly tanking.
Yeah, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick told you that, no doubt about it. But he says Quinn would need to agree to any deal. I guess Quinn has kind of a de facto no trade clause.
Like okay. There
so maybe that's why they're like, hey, you go visit so that you can sign off on this
you
thing.
You like where that's at. We'll
yeah, because if we send you, if we finalize a trade and you don't agree, you can always kibosh the deal. So Quinn would need to agree to the deal. So this is another step in the Cowboys acquiring a pass rusher. In that same vein, and I don't know how, but Tyrone Crawford – I don't know how this happened because there's video of it, but doesn't show video of the genesis of the dispute. He has been spotted in a video. TMZ actually released it, and 105.3 The Fan has it as well, where he's pushing police officers. Like there's a dispute and a bit of a ruckus, and he ends up pushing a couple of police officers. I don't know if he was arrested as a result or whatever, but there's video of it, and of course, that means there's going to be an NFL investigation. So with all that being said, the Cowboys are trying to bring in better pass rushers, maybe because, first of all, they know that Randy Gregory and David Irving have their issues they're dealing with. But to kind of bookend DeMarcus Lawrence and his war daddy status, you're going to need another guy that can rush the passer. Robert Quinn has never had a season with less than 4 sacks, by the way. Since 2011, 5 sacks in 15 games, 10.5 in 16 in 2012, 19 in 16 and 13 in 2013. He had 10.5 in 2014 in 16 games. He had 5 sacks in 8 games in 2015, 4 sacks in 9 games in 2016, 8.5 sacks in 15 games in 2017, and 6.5 sacks in 16 games in 2018. So, I mean, the Cowboys are upgrading. They're just not doing it the way they're not making big splashes. And they did this when they drafted Travis Frederick, and I had the same take. Cowboys fans were upset about that pick. I remember it. And I was like, well, Travis Frederick is a really good player. Cowboys fans just don't like it because they want a bigger splash. They wanted a name brand, and he was not a name brand. He was a generic brand, if you will. But sometimes, and I always say this, sometimes the HEB brand – all right, that CVS brand is just as good as the name brand. except it's a lot cheaper and it's a lot more economically feasible.
Man, that cereal.
Cereal can be like
three
that
times
too.
A bag, man.
Yeah, exactly. Now some things, hey, you need to get the name brand for. But hey, the Cowboys are they're what my girlfriend's like this. They're bargain hunters now. They're bargain shoppers. My girlfriend's a great bargain shopper. Nothing gets my girlfriend more excited, not even me, than when she comes home and she's got a receipt that shows you exactly how much money you saved. You saved
$100. It ain't cheap, it's thrifty.
Right, yeah. You saved $124. Like, well, you spent $250. He's like, well, I saved $140. Well, okay. You know what I mean? But she said the bargain gets her really excited. She loves the bargain. The Cowboys are bargain shoppers now. They're going to go after players who have been devalued because of age, devalued because of injury, so they can get a bargain. They're shopping. They shop at the same places. My girlfriend shops at Nordstrom Rack and Nordstrom's and Macy's and JCPenney. But she goes there to get the clearance racks. You know what I mean? She goes there doing the sales. She don't just go there anytime to do that kind of shopping. That's what the Cowboys are. And they're operating late in free agency, which tells you they have put in their own kind of fail-safe device and checks and balances where, no, we don't even want to spend money in that first week of free agency. There's one guy we targeted, Earl Thomas. If we can't get Earl, then we're just going to wait until the second week, and then we'll make better decisions. And they didn't get Earl, and they pretty much just waited to the second week. And they got Chris Covington, and then they just signed Kerry Hyder. So they're signing guys, but they're upgrading. It's just not the big splash and not the name brand. But I'll tell you what, I do like the fact that they're still upgrading though. I think the guys they're bringing in are still at the safety position, even at the slot wide receiver position, still better options than what they have, just not the big splashes. It reminds me of our technique and our method when I was single in college and we'd go downtown to try to pick up ladies, right, for companionship. And we had different theories as to, how you would do it. Because I didn't want to go down there at 9:30 or 10 o'clock and spend all night, all right, flirting with the same girl and buying drinks for her and all of her friends and still end up striking out potentially at the end of the night and going home alone. And then spend tons of money and been entertained the whole night, not even having fun hanging out with my homies and kicking it. No, I'm putting in way too much time and effort trying to close the deal that way. So what we would do is we call it the late night hype, where we would get down there late, all right? We getting down to the club by 1:30, all right? I only got time to buy two rounds anyway. So,
but there's a different agenda there.
Exactly. So I already gave myself a bit of a, I gave myself a bit of a rule. Like, I get down at 1:30, I only got 30 minutes to spend money. So I'm already being more responsible about the way I'm spending money, right? The late night hype strategy. And then, as Wax said, there's a different mentality. I'm not going to get the dime piece, the tens and the nines. I'm not. I got down there really late. Now, I could. It could happen. Every now and then it happens, the 9 and the 10. Like,
I got it.
You
already got the plan C.
I got an Ndamukong Suh this late? Wow. That's amazing. I never expected that. But most of the time, I ended up with a Christian Covington or, or a Randall Cobb, which is, hey, that's a 7 or an 8. Fully committed, by the way. Fully committed. And I didn't have to buy her and her friend $50 worth of drinks, and I had to spend all the time to put in. No, got down there at 1:30, started a conversation at 1:45, bought one drink, and about 2:05, boom, late night hype. All right? And it took about 25 minutes, and I just spent 3 hours with it. So it's more about maximizing time and then assessing value.
Efficiency.
Yeah, so if I wanted to get the first round draft pick, if I wanted to get down there and I wanted the hottest girl that I saw that night, I had to get down there early because I got to put in time with that, like time, effort, and money. High maintenance, high priced. That's what those free agents are in the first week of free agency. Earl, you want the Earl Thomas? You want the Honey Badger? All right, you got to pay for it. High price, high maintenance. But the Cowboys, they got the Rod B late night hype strategy. You know what? We're going to go down there a little late. 1:30, we're going to see what's left, do a little parking lot pimping, also another strategy. That's when you get down there and the club is closed. Everybody's just out on 6th Street. You get down there at 2 o'clock on the dot, parking lot pimping. You got basically 20 minutes, and after that, it's going to start looking scarce around there, all right? The ladies start scattering. You got 20 minutes to work. You better close fast. ABC is what we always say. Always be closing. Always be closing. Your friends would walk by and say you were talking to a girl and go, ABC, Robbie, ABC. Always be closing. So these are the different strategies about acquiring talent. You also have the nasty Nathan Vasher 10% rule. You talk to 10 girls. If you only hit on 10%, it was a good night. That's all you need. But you got to you got to get 10%. So you got to hit on 10 of them. I get 10%. That was a good night. What do you mean? If I'm hitting 300, I'm Mike Trout. I mean, the nasty Nate 10% rule never failed either.
It's all-star in baseball, man.
Yeah, that was like, that's like ride sharing. It's all about how hard you work. That's how much you're going to get. That's what that is. All right, enough of my single days dating advice for you guys. But you get the strategy for the Cowboys. That's what they're doing now. They're waiting later. So it's a less price they're spending. You know, they don't have to overpay for these guys, and they're also getting what they consider to be better value, more bang for their buck. All right, we'll come back. We'll give you more bang for your buck. I'll go on a rant on the other side. Roch rants today right here on the Rodcast. This is the Horn 104.9 AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs Text line, 512-337-3776. Came back a little late, so I'll push my rant of the day to the first segment of the second hour. You can always hit us up via Twitter as well. I'm at Rod Babies in the Twitterverse. My man Wags at Not the Fake Wags in the Twitterverse. Texter says, short, how about this one? Lorena says, shortcut for parking lot pimping. Buy a gal food while she's waiting. Amen. Amen. I agree with that. That's a good way to keep a cover because most the ladies getting out of the club are all hungry.
Shortcut to my woman's heart right there.
Yep. They all hungry. So you can if you got the pizza or the the hot dog or whatever, you can talk her or coax her into, you know, walking over to the pizza stand with you. Boom. That's half the battle right there. It will go a long way.
Let me buy you a slice.
Mm-hmm. My woman is a very nice lady, but she's never as angry as she is when she's hangry. Man, I mean, she's never as angry as she is when she's hangry. And sometimes just need a little food. They say that the man's stomach is the way to his heart. I would disagree. I think that's a woman thing. I think women love food more than men do.
My wife forgot about her child when she's been hungry.
Exactly. It becomes primal.
She is one of the best mothers I know.
Exactly. Yeah, no doubt about it.
If I can't take care of myself, I can't take care of him.
Low blood sugar, man. It's a real thing. Sukumo wants to know how you get a 100% off coupon. Yeah, I think we'd all would like that. 11 times in one day, said Rod, is like Mr. Boston from I Love New York. I remember watching that show from the Flavor of Love lady, right? He said he hung his framed STD results up in his apartment. Hey, I'm just saying, you should be proud of that. Nobody should feel like ashamed to go get tested and then to let everybody know, especially if you're single, like Robert Kraft.
Due diligence.
Yeah, man, I'm single and ready to mingle. You know what I mean? No doubt about it. I used to carry them with me. Now, you know, I don't. Obviously, I have a woman now, so no need to carry my STD results with me. But I want the ladies to know. You know what I mean? Boom. If she had any doubts about me, I could fill in the gaps for her. Oh, no pun intended there either. You guys get your minds out of the gutter. Okay, I pointed this out earlier. And I said this yesterday. The amount of edge rushers on the free agent market is freaky. Here are all the edge rushers left on the NFL free agent market. Just edge rushers. Justin Houston, Ziggy Ansah, Nick Perry, Shane Ray, Clay Matthews, Adrian Claiborne, Derek Morgan, Vinnie Curry, Deion Jordan, Benson Mayoa, Aaron Lynch, Bruce Irvin still out there, and there's Adamakung Su's out there, and Corey Legit's out there, and those are the other D linemen. Doris Filon's out there. There's a lot of really good D linemen in free agency. That is the market that is stalling, much like the safety market stalled last year. And to me, it's because anytime you book in, and not necessarily book in, but either on the front or on the back end of a free agent period, you have a really good draft at that position, like they do for the defensive line. In this upcoming draft, I think you'll see a slight depression in that market. We saw that with the safeties last year. And what happened last year with the safeties, I think most of it was due to the 2017 safety class was so good, it depressed the 2018 safety market for guys like Kenny Vaccaro and Trey Boston and for all those, you know, those even Earl Thomas who wanted a new deal and Honey Badger, they couldn't get the deals they wanted last year because there was so many good young safeties. Here's a stat that I did the research on. There were 24 safeties drafted in 2017, 24 of them. One of them moved to linebackers, left 23. 13 of the 23 safeties that were drafted in 2017's NFL draft ended up being starters by the last week of the year. 13, that's 54% of the safeties drafted end up being starters by the end of the year. 42% of them, 10 of the 23 ended up starting the majority of the games their rookie year. The safety class was so good, nobody knew it would be that good, and I think it depressed the safety market for that 2018 free agent class. Same thing is happening now, at least, you know, from the other end of the spectrum. This really talented defensive line class is depressing the defensive line free agent class, so you can get some really good deals, just like the Texans got Honey Badger on the cheap last year as a one-year rental. You can get a one-year rental with some of these players, and I think the Cowboys and the Texans should think about it. We'll talk about that on the other side. Texans also bringing in some visitors for the second wave of free agency. We'll address that. March Madness discussion in my rant of the day, and Texas Longhorn football and baseball discussion. And all that on the other side, right here on the broadcast. This is the Horn 104.9 AM 1260.